Thank you very much. Got a little bit of sore throat, so if my throat uses every once in a while, you know why. You've got a handout in your packet. You may want to go in and pull it out. It's a 26-page handout. It starts with West Kentucky United for Economic Development Conference. My PowerPoint will have more slides than the handout, so you will not have all these slides. But Bob has told me if you want the 39-page PDF, email him. He'd be glad to get that to you. You will notice from this, basically, demographic, education, workforce realities. Our website is at the bottom here. It's hard to see. Let's see if it shows up. Oops, got to turn this on. That might help. Let's see if it'll work here. Yeah. There it is. The red's showing up a little bit. At the very bottom, though, www.kylmi.ky.gov. LMI stands for Labor Market Information. You can go to that site and get lots of information from our website. We do have a new 6-page profile we just put up for every county under our website. Go to that. Let me start out by saying a couple quick things. I am a native Kentuckian, but even though I'm a native Kentuckian, I talk real fast, so you have to listen real fast. Those who have heard me before. Also, I disagree with the adage that a speaker should keep it simple. To me, life is not simple. Life is complex. So I give a complex presentation. I cover a lot of data. And a lot of people describe my presentation as somebody asking for a drink of water. I put them in front of a fire hydrant and turn it on full blast. I see Mayor Kemp is out there. He understands that. He used to have brown hair before he heard me talk too many times. Let me start out a few other exercises. Just even though I'm using PowerPoint today, I want to go through this. Put your hand over your head and go around in a circle. Okay? You don't need to do your stomach. Just your head. Okay, you can stop with that. Just look at your fellow colleagues from West Kentucky today and point back and forth at them. Okay, you can stop with that. I wanted to go ahead and get my overheads and PowerPoints done with first. Okay? Even though I will use a PowerPoint today, I am not a big fan of PowerPoint. I really like to use a lot more handouts, and I can't do that these days because of budget constraints. But basically, folks, the devil's in the detail. Now, some of these charts today you will not be able to see, but you will be able to see them in your handout, and that's why I still think handouts are valuable as well. One other exercise, and I'll leave you alone. Those who have heard me before, play along. Just take your hands and fingers and cross them whichever way feels comfortable. I've got my left thumb and fingers on top and my right thumb and fingers on the bottom. Notice which ones are on top and bottom. It doesn't matter. And then just take them apart. How many of you, like I did, had your left thumbs and fingers on top? Okay, looks like about half. Right thumbs and fingers on top. Okay, close to half and half. It doesn't mean anything. But now what I want you to do is take them apart and put them together a second time. Notice which fingers and thumbs are on top the second time, and then just take them apart again. How many of you all had the same fingers and thumbs on top the second time that you had the first time? Okay, looks like the vast majority. Who in the audience today is unique and different and did it the other way the second time? Raise your all's hands. Okay, notice who they are. Be nice to them. It's okay to be unique and different, and because they're unique and different, they will not have to do it a third time. Everybody else has to do it one more time. Put your hands up like this. Don't put them together yet, but as quickly as possible, do it the other way. Is that table in the back done yet? How's that feel? Awkward, uncomfortable, right? We get used to doing things a certain way, and change is difficult. One of my concerns is, folks, we're basically planning for the future we're not going to get. And so the future we are going to get. I sort of consider myself a state contrarian and telling people what they need to know versus what they want to know. What if we make decisions on what we think is so and what we think is so ain't so? What kind of decisions we make? Not very good, right? That will be a challenge for Western Kentucky. That'll be a challenge for East Kentucky, which had their SOAR conference yesterday. We are going through a major change. There's a new book out a few years old called basically The Age of the Unthinkable, Joshua Cooper Ramos. And what he mentions is, folks, things are changing, and we got to understand those changes and make decisions based on those changes going on. They're not good news, they're not bad news, but they're different news. And that'll be a challenge as you face the issues for Western Kentucky. Let me go through my slides here. Here's the first slide, demographic realities and the demographic revolution. How many of y'all have heard of Kentucky being described as barefoot and pregnant? Oh, yeah, laugh at that. We've all heard it. Where do we get all this junk in our minds we believe, folks, isn't true? You know, one of the books I use sometimes is called Red Herrings and Straw Cows, things we believe that actually aren't true. What if I told you, folks, we are not barefoot and pregnant. We're far from it. In fact, let me do a quick exercise here that may relate to the future of the community colleges and also Murray and the future of your workforce. And folks, this is not an issue for West Kentucky. This is not an issue for Kentucky. This is not an issue for the South. This is not even an issue for the United States. This is an issue for the entire world. Think back to your two parents. Now, these are natural parents. Your two natural parents got a lot of blended families. Which one came from the largest family, number of brothers and sisters, and themselves? How many of y'all had one of your two parents came from a family of 10 or more kids? Okay, a few out there. 8 or 9 kids the most? Okay, I'm talking about just one of your two parents. 6 or 7? Okay, quite a few. 4 or 5? Whole lot. 2 or 3? Quite a few as well. Both parents only kids? Okay, we got one. And you did have two parents, right? You know, if you don't have parents, you can't have kids. It's important to know these things. Okay, now, yourselves. How many kids in your family, yourself, your brothers and sisters? How many of you all come from a family of 10 or more kids in Western Kentucky? Uh-oh, not as many hands. How about 8 or 9 kids? Okay, we got one outlier out there. Okay, 6 or 7 kids? Okay, a few. 4 or 5 kids? Several. 3 kids? The most so far. 2 kids. The most so far. 1 child. Only a few. No children. No, of course, you got to have brother. Okay, you got to be there, so you got to have one. Okay, now the important issue for the future of Western Kentucky. How many kids do you all have? And I should mention here how many kids you do have or how many kids you expect to have, because some of you may be still in childbearing age, although most of the men don't look like they're there yet. They're there. And by the way, also, I'm saying the number of kids you have, the number of kids you know about. Now, the women will know that. The men may not. Okay. How many of you all in this room have 10 or more children? 8 or 9 kids? Going once, going twice? 6 or 7 kids? Nobody? 4 or 5 kids? And they both have gray hair. Okay, 3 kids? Several. 2 children? Okay, look at that, folks. 1 child? Several. No kids. You know, this room is a replacement level only. To replace a family, you need to have 2.1 kids. 1 for each parent, 0.1 for mortality. Not good or bad news, but major shifts going on. What if I told you around the entire world now, the population under 25 has stopped growing? What's that mean to an economy that's always been based on more and more kids and a growing population of young people? I spoke at West Kentucky University for a couple hours recently to the Board of Regents. President Ransell had me come down. He said, one of the things I want you to tell him is our youth population is not growing, so we may not see much growth in our student population at Western. We want to see the quality grow. We may not see the student population grow. Also, another issue, all growth in the world now is due to longevity. How many people in here were born between 1945 or 1946 and 1964? Okay, the vast majority of us. What are we called? You know, we are the largest population ever in the history of the United States. Not good or bad news, but we're the largest population, and we're still the largest population. There have been some people saying, well, the younger population is larger than the boomers. That is correct. If you look at the numbers of boomers in the 1940s and 50s, and the younger population today, there are a lot more young people. But guess what has happened in the last 30, 40, 50 years? We've had immigration. So the boomers are still our largest population. Not good or bad news, but that's our largest population for products and goods and services. All growth under 45 in this nation looks like virtually none of us in this room. I only see a couple of minorities in this room. All growth in America under 45 is black, Asian, and Hispanic. Not good or bad news, but that'll be an issue for your education, your future. And by the way, all growth in Kentucky under 18 is minority, and most of it is Hispanic. Como está usted? I hear a lot about, we don't like immigration, folks. Boy, I'm in major favor of immigration. I actually think we need to pay the Minutemen to go on the Mexican border. But not to build walls, but open up lemonade stands. You see, in Hispanic, you drag their butts across the border. Because guess what's happening now in Mexico, South and Central America? They have reached fertility rates of 2.1 and less. We may no longer see immigrants who want to come across the border. In fact, there's a new book out called The Next 100 Years, and the author of that says, by 2020, this country's going to have a major labor shortage, and we're going to be paying immigrants to come into the country. So we better rethink our immigration policies. Now, I know Western Kentucky, I know both the Murray area, I know especially McCracken County, especially Graves County, does have a growing Hispanic population. That'll be an issue. Non-Hispanic white population in the United States is 30% less than the boomer population. There is no baby boomlet that everybody believes there happened. And in Kentucky, folks, it's 25% less. What's that mean for your community colleges? What's it mean for Murray as far as diversity and attracting more diversity for your future student population? What's it also mean? I know we've got the Delta Regional Authority here. What's it mean for the South, which has a growing minority population, investing in young blacks and Hispanics? Now, we'll step on a few toes here. I think we need to make sure we have the resources to move forward to the future. And you'll see in a future slide, we need to have enough revenue to pay for the services we need to have an educated, skilled, effective population. So when I hear I want to see less government, less taxes, my answer is, if you want to see less government, less taxes, there's an easy answer. And this is controversial. Buy a one-way ticket to a country called Somalia or Afghanistan. Live in a country without government and taxes and see how well you do. What country do you want to live in, folks, that has less government, less taxes? Taxes are the price of a civilized society. We do not need to be raising tuitions at our community colleges and our universities. We need to be lowering tuitions. We need to make sure students have enough money in their pockets to go to school and can afford to go to school. And that's going to be a challenge, especially when that population growth is minority population. The United States today, the average black population has 1/20 of the wealth of the average white population. The average Hispanic population, 1/18 of the wealth of the average white population. How can we get our economy moving again, folks, if all our growth is in a population which has less and less money? You know, there's two terms now I like to use. One is middle-out economics. We have found out that trickle-down economics has not worked. We need middle-out economics where everybody makes enough money to basically take care of themselves and their family. The other trend is something called pre-distribution, not redistribution, but pre-distribution. We need to make sure that people do not need food stamps. They do not need Medicaid because they make enough money to have enough money to buy food and clothing and also pay for medical care. Redistribution is redistributing the money because we don't have a fair system. Pre-distribution is making sure we have a fair system where people have enough money in their pocket to spend so we keep our economy growing. What did the fellow Henry Ford say about his workforce? I pay my workers enough to buy my cars. Did that work, folks? It worked. Let me go through a couple other things. The purchase ad is not keeping its young adult population. Callaway County has a growing young adult population. Does that seem counterintuitive, folks? Callaway County has a growing young population, yet the purchasing area and Penny Rail area do not. We need to understand these changes going on. This is a world, not Kentucky, not the United States. This is 1950, where the red dot is, pyramid shape, same base on all the bottom, 300 million on each side. The blue are male, the tan are female. Between 1950 and 2010, does everybody see the major growth in the world population at all age groups? Population pyramids down here at the bottom is 0 to 10, up here is 80, 100 plus. Then, folks, look between 1910, and again, I can send this to you, or Bob can. You do not have this in your pocket pack today. This is 1950. Now, see if this red line will, see if I can get it to work here. Okay, right here. Anybody knows anything about the population 25 and under in 2010 versus 2050, folks? No growth, and actually lost in 2100. And all the growth now is in our older adult population. I've got some great news for you in West Kentucky. You're going to be seeing each other a heck of a lot longer than you thought you were. All you have to do to feel good about yourself these days is go knock on your neighbor's door and see how old they are. This is not good news. This is not bad news, folks. This is the entire new world. Going from a large pyramid-shaped young population to squaring the pyramid. This is the United States. This is by race. By the way, I have this for every state. I've spoken in 33 states over the last 5 or 6 years, all the major states, all the southern states. Does everybody see our largest population here is the boomers? Then we have a little bit of a boomlet here. And some people say, in fact, one of the governor's candidates told me a few months ago that we have a baby echo boom. And I said, no, sir, that's not correct. Because it is not a baby boom. It is basically, here's your black population, which is pyramid shaped. There's more young blacks here. Here's an issue for the minority community. Notice in the United States, there are a lot more black females in their 20s and 30s than there are black males. We've got a problem in the black community of too much violence and too many young men not doing well. I think actually that may be due to lack of a social safety net, which I'll mention a little bit later. Big issue. This is the Asian population, very small base. These numbers are different on each side, and you see it's inverted. Actually, the Asian population now in America is growing faster than the Hispanic population, but all Asian growth is through immigration, because Asian women tend to marry late and only have one child. Inverted population. Here is on the next page, this is the Hispanic population. Anybody see a pyramid up there? Remember what I said about Como Estados did a while ago? And folks, guess what region in the world now is having the fastest economic growth? It certainly isn't Europe. It's not even Asia. It is South and Central America. And guess what, folks? They're part of our continent. That may be our new future business partners, selling products and goods and services to South and Central America and Mexico. And we have major opportunities to do that, and we're trying to close our borders. Folks, we better rethink that whole issue. And for economic development, folks, having those Hispanics here may be the people we need to make the contacts with those people in Salvador and Chile and Argentina in the future. In the middle there is the non-Hispanic white population. You might notice what the non-Hispanic white population is doing? Shrinking dramatically. Here's an issue for the Delta region. You know, Georgia, all growth in Georgia, folks, is minority. The entire growth. Not good or bad, but major shifts going on. Let's go to the next slide. This is Kentucky. This is 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010. We have these folks for every single county in Kentucky. One of my staff people has done this. And by the way, even I am concerned about government spending, because what I've had is, I've had my GIS person has left. I don't have a new GIS person. The person who does my spreadsheets, they have left. My staff, support staff, has really been reduced dramatically because of government funding cuts. And I cannot produce as much data as I used to do. I think that's a big mistake. We got to have data, and we got to have analysis of that data and know what's going on. Notice, folks, in 1990 in Kentucky, the population of boomers were 25 to 34. And by the way, look at your handouts. Page number two of your handouts has this data, so you can actually look at it at your table. You see the population 15 to 34 was our largest population in 1980. For some reason in 1990, they were 25 to 34. They got 10 years older. Folks, isn't it amazing from demographics the baby boomers get 10 years older every 10 years? You know, this country had a major crisis in 1952. A bunch of six-year-olds showed up for the first grade. There was one major question in 1952. Where the heck did all these six-year-olds come from? Well, folks, they were born 6 years earlier in 1946, and we should have seen it come, and we didn't. We had double sessions, bringing in portable classrooms. Can you tell me today, folks, how those six-year-olds are today, 60 years later? They're turning 66, right? What's that going to mean for healthcare jobs? What's going to mean for a growing aging population? And by the way, folks, I think Social Security is a good program. And I think one of the crises this country is going to face is we are about to see a bunch of people run out of money before they run out of life. They retired too soon and lived too long. What I told you today in America, 68% of women between the ages of now 49 and 68, baby boomers, have no pension or 401k coverage at all. Their entire income in retirement will be Social Security alone. What's that mean for our future unless we have a good safety net out there for those people? Then you'll see, of course, in 2000, they were basically 35 to 40, 54, and today they're 55 to 64. Guess how old they're going to be in 2020, folks? You think it'll be basically 55 to 74? Not good or bad. Big change going on. Let's look at some other changes. These are those ArcGIS maps I talked about. We have these at our website, lots of them. This is Kentucky in the first part of the last century, between 1900 and 1950. The dark blue has the high growth. This is not in your handout. The light green has the high loss. Where was the big growth in Kentucky, folks, in the first 50 years of the last century? Southeast Kentucky, right? See it there? And folks, look at the golden triangle. Many counties in the dark green there actually lost half their population. That's the first 50 years of the last century. Let's look at the next 60 years. Between 1950 and 2010, folks, what happened to the Golden Triangle? All those counties which had lost population grew dramatically. East Kentucky had major losses. And your all's area, like Marshall and Callaway, had big growth. McCracken had some pretty good growth. Your river counties along Mississippi, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton, had population losses. So major shifts going on. But by the way, I was a bit concerned last night about the report on East Kentucky and changing economy down there. Folks, East Kentucky has not lost population for 20 years. They lost population between 1980 and 1990 and before that. But what happened to East Kentucky, folks, is even though this show is losing population, it's due to the fact that families are not having 5 and 6 kids anymore. They're having 1 or 2 kids. And by the way, the brain drain in East Kentucky, I had a reporter call me from Lexington Herald a couple months ago, said, I want to do a story on a brain drain from Letcher County. I said, I've got the data. There's a major brain gain. You've got more college graduates. You've got more master's degrees, people in East Kentucky. It is growing. You did lose coal mining jobs, but those coal mining miners do not have master's degrees and doctor's degrees and BA degrees. You're growing your educated population. And by the way, I know we've got Muhlenberg County here today. I spoke to their leaders at their chamber last summer. Muhlenberg County, folks, has been losing coal mining jobs for decades. And folks, it just happened overnight. Isn't that amazing? Been happening for years. But we got to think about those changes going on. Then let's look at Pity Rowl area. And you have this in your packet. And this is on page number 3 of your packet. Now you will see there is an issue here. Why are there all those males in the Pity Rowl area that are basically in their 20s? Chris may have the answer to that. Where's Chris at? Fort Campbell. Well, you will notice in the mayor that has actually been going down somewhat. Folks, what's going to happen to sequestration in the military? Now, there's another issue for basically the Pity Rowl area. We're cutting a lot of money for defense folks, and we're going to have a battle in this country because of our cutting of government funding, a battle between the senior citizens and Social Security and Medicare and the military. Folks, who do you think is going to win that battle, the military or senior citizens? How many think it's going to be the military? How many think it's going to be senior citizens? I think the latter is correct. You're not going to see a lot of money for the military because senior citizens are going to say, I want my money. So we better think about that issue. Maybe we need to have money for both, which means enough revenue to support both military and programs for the aging. And you will see basically that population of young has been shrinking somewhat as we've downsized the military. Next page over, on page number 4 of your handout, you've actually got the data for Pity Rowl. How many people in Pity Rowl, 20 to 24, in 1980? Everybody see 12,600? What about 2010, folks? 9,000, right? That's a drop of basically 25%. That's because we don't have as many military. Now, that data may be a little bit understated, because we have another problem. For some reason, the census does not like to count the people in Christian County. Chris, would you agree with that? Where's Chris at? He's retired now. Maybe Vicki can answer that question. For some reason, the Census Bureau, if you're a soldier, you can basically, and the mayor knows this, you can basically say you live in New York even though you're in Christian County because it's where you came from. We got to change that law. Should be where you're stationed, not where you're home. Because when you fill out a tax form for New York folks, You want to say you don't live in Christian County, you want to live in New York, because if you're a military and you're living in at Fort Campbell, you don't have any income tax in New York. We got to change some of those issues. So that does skew some of the data and makes it a little bit more misleading. Then let's look at the page five. This is your all's area, purchase, where we are now. And this shows your population. Good news, you're pretty stable. You're getting a little bit older. One thing that does concern me, which I mentioned earlier, notice, folks, the population in 2000, 25 to 34 is smaller, both for males and females. Males are blue, females are purple. And in 2010, the population 20 to 44 is much smaller. That tells me, folks, your young adult workforce has been leaving. You've got a population who, if they stayed here, you would have a stable workforce. How do you make sure you're creating jobs so those young people have the ability to stay here? And by the way, the good news is, when I go around the country speaking, I'm saying the Northeast is in major decline, the Midwest is in major decline, the Southeast, which includes Kentucky, will be the new major economic engine if we play our cards right and make the right decisions. That includes good tax revenue. And if current trends continue, the Southwest, California, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, will be the new Appalachia. Poorly educated, poorly skilled, not prepared for the 21st century. Again, I speak all over the country. One of my handouts that you don't have, but I just noticed I had this. This is California. Most of you cannot see it. It shows California's population squared. But then on the second page, and I have this for every single state if you want it, and some of the cities as well, this is the Hispanic population in California, which is pyramid shape. Base is 800,000 on each side. This is the non-Hispanic white population in California. Dramatic shrinkage. Half the number of kids as boomers. Not good or bad, but there's going to be a major shift in population. And the housing issue in California, folks, is not over. Because the average Hispanic in California has a per capita income of $14,000. The average white has an average income of $52,000. Who's going to buy $1 million homes in Los Angeles County? By the way, Los Angeles County, folks, has basically 10 million people. We have 4 million people in our state. So some big issues there. But again, this is an issue for Murray and the community colleges. How do you keep those young people here? Next page over has that raw number, page number 6 of your handout. And you'll notice, good news is, if you look at your overall population, how many people in Purchase area, folks, males, basically 25 to 29 in 1980? 6,700, been going down a little bit, now 5,700, about 1,000 less. But folks, look at your population 45 to 49. Went from 4,100 to 6,900. You now have more people who are middle-aged than you have young kids. But that's happening across the entire world. What's it mean also if you're manufacturing, making products that are stronger? Making sure your chairs hold people who weigh 250 pounds instead of 150 pounds. I spoke to the suppliers for Walmart a number of years ago. I do about every 5 years down in Orlando. And about 30 years ago, they were very upset with my presentation. Two of the companies, Lee and Wrangler Jeans, because I told them they got to change their market, not sell blue jeans to young people, but also sell blue jeans to middle-aged people. But they said, middle-aged people don't wear blue jeans, especially middle-aged women. Folks, did middle-aged women in this country 30 years ago wear blue jeans? They didn't even wear slacks. How many women in the audience today wear slacks, or wearing slacks? It's okay, you can admit it. And what I told Lee and Wrangler Jeans, don't you understand? You're going to sell more blue jeans and slacks because young women 30 years ago, when they get old, will also continue to wear slacks and blue jeans, even though old women didn't. And I also said you're going to sell a whole lot more fabric. Anybody thinking about that yet? Okay, a few people got it. Most of you haven't yet. Okay, I'm sorry. But a major shift's going on. This is Murray. Notice Murray, folks, Callaway County. This is on page number 7 of your data. Why does Murray have all that large population in their teens and 20s? And folks, notice also on page number 8, the good news for Murray is, if you look at male and female, now this does not look like a very friendly table in front, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go ahead and say this anyway. Maybe some of the people in the back will agree with this. Maybe Sheila's table especially will. It is obvious to me in Kentucky that our women are becoming a whole lot smarter than our men are. Anybody agree with that? Women are smarter than men? I knew Sheila would hold her hand up. If you look at who's going back to school now, retooling, retraining, who is it, folks? By the way, folks, in Callaway County, let's look at the population 2024. How many young men in Callaway County 2024 and 2010? Everybody see 2677? How many young women, folks, 2024 at the bottom there? Everybody see 2958? 10% more. Do we need to light a fire in our young men? I was up in Ashland speaking a few years ago. He told me young men up there were more and more go-getters. I said, my data doesn't show that. It shows they're dropping out at higher rates, unemployed at higher rates. How can you tell me your young men are more and more go-getters? The lady looked me straight in the eye and said, well, they take her to work in the morning, and they go get her in the afternoon. We've got to get more young men to understand you've got to get better educated, better skilled for tomorrow. Let me just sort of close out here in a few more minutes. Basically, next page, or you don't have this page, this is 15. Let me go to 15 here. Educational attainment. West Kentucky and the Golden Triangle have a much better educational attainment than East Kentucky and Southern Kentucky. It's not just East Kentucky, folks. It's also Southern Kentucky. Surprisingly enough, all those counties around West Kentucky University, Warren County, are not well-educated. That's an issue for Warren County when I spoke to their leaders for Western Kentucky University. Nate's Snapjock report indicates both progress for Kentucky and Kentucky being in the middle. How many of us have heard that Kentucky's at the bottom educationally? That was yesterday, folks. That's not today. If you look at education levels of the young population, we compare well with the rest of the country. Our older population is less educated, and they pull our scores down. So we got to think about that whole issue. Taxes are investment in the future, and the South is not performing well. Folks, I don't think we need to lower taxes or raise taxes. I think we need to have tax reform. Hopefully our governor, lieutenant governor will talk about that. We need to have a fair tax system where everybody pays their fair share. There's a new book out called Treasure Islands, talking about the world economy, and the author of that book says one-third to one-half of the world economy is in dark money where corporations pay no taxes. One-third to one-half of our economy is in dark money that never pays taxes? You know that Google and Apple, two companies I admire, basically pay no taxes in this country? What's that mean for our roads, bridges, infrastructures when a large corporation, who are multinational, hide their profits overseas and put their costs in this country? We got to change that, folks. We got to have a fair tax system. We got to have an international tax system where everybody pays their fair share. Now, of course, we do have a tax holiday, folks, right? So instead of corporations paying 39.5%, they can bring their money back from overseas and pay 5%. Is that fair? Would you all mind paying 35% tax rate when a corporation can pay 5%? I'm not sure that's fair, folks. We got to change that law. Big issues out there. Carried interest in all that. Early childhood education, class sizes, well-trained teachers, and a strong social safety net are critical to our children's and our state's future. Folks, we do not have a growing safety net. We have a declining safety net. The amount of money the country is spending on welfare has been going down for decades. Food stamps have been going up. Welfare has not. We've got to have a social safety net to take care of people out there. I'll show you why I say that in a minute. And it's interesting to me, we say class size doesn't matter. Folks, why do rich people, the first question they ask when they send their kids to a private school, what's your teacher ratio? So if it doesn't matter, why do they care about that? We better think about that again. And by the way, this whole issue of charter schools do better in public schools, read a new book by Diane Radovich, R-A-V-I-T-C-H, Reign of Error. It mentions Michelle Rhee in Washington, D.C., had major testing scandals where her academic progress was basically based on erasing answers and putting new answers in by the teachers. Is that the kind of educational system we want? Where you do better because you basically cheat? Big issues. Here's Kentucky, educational attainment, high school plus. I've mentioned this earlier. Look, the green is the worst, the blue is the best. How's West Kentucky look, folks? You're all counties. All of them basically are blue or better. And in fact, McCracken, Marshall, and Callaway look pretty good. South Central Kentucky and East Kentucky do not look good. That's high school. Then this is associate degree. And folks, everybody doesn't have to go to college. Murray, don't listen to that, okay? We need people who can be plumbers, electricians, builders. In fact, I've got an article, you want to get it, called The Future of Building Things, Making Things, Inventing Things, Innovating Things. We've got to get back to a middle-class economy where we build things, make things, invent things, innovate things, instead of sending that overseas. Folks, my issue is we got to change our direction. We're importing our good-paying jobs that require innovation and excellence. And by the way, folks, this sequestration, we're cutting money for government to go to medical research, for drug research. Most medical miracles in this country, folks, were built by money from taxes going to government agencies and government universities to build our future and make us the number one country in the world. That's what you do with tax revenue. We got to rethink that whole issue. This is basically bachelor's degrees. And again, you'll see y'all look pretty good, Callaway County, McCracken, and Northern Kentucky. Sort of closing out here. You have this on your in your handouts. This is on page number 9 of your handout. This is the NAEP report, 2013, just out. National Assessment Educational Progress. Here's an issue for the Delta region. Blue, Kentucky, on that on page number 9, is equal to all the yellow states, and we're below the red states. This is reading 8th grade level. Folks, how do we look? Not bad, right? So why do we think we're so poorly educated? And folks, look at all those red states who are much lower. The red states are the ones below us. Aren't most of those red states anti-tax, anti-government, anti-public education? And they're getting what to pay for, a less educated population. Today, folks, California and Texas have the least number of high school graduates in the nation. And all growth projected for Texas between now and 2030 is high school dropouts only, percentage-wise. What's that mean for Governor Rick Perry and the future of Texas? Not very pretty. Big challenge, big issue. By the way, at that same handout you got now, I'll go slip over. Here's the map a little bit easier. Again, Kentucky's blue. That's equal to all the yellow states. Basically, we're lower than 7 states in the Northeast. We're equal to basically 21 states, and we're above 33 states in the South. And then the next one, which I think is very interesting, did you all see recently our national scores are not very good compared to the other industrial countries in the world? You all do know that only one country in the world, developed country, has a higher poverty rate for kids than we do. That's called Romania. The average world poverty rate, folks, for kids is 10%. In the United States, it's 25%. So maybe our issue is we're not doing as well as the rest of the world because we've got too many poor kids who are not scoring as well, where our middle-class kids score very well. My kids went to DuPont Manual High School in Louisville. Public high school, the top in the state. They did very well. So we got to get rid of this issue that public schools are bad. Maybe poverty's bad, and it feeds into public schools not being able to educate the kids because they come in hungry, ill-fed, and ill-prepared for the future. That's an issue we have to face both in East and West Kentucky. But the good news here, folks, is this is the progress between 1998 and 2013. And guess what, folks? Every single year, basically, except 2005, 2007, our reading levels, performance went up, and this is a proficient, and advanced is that last column, and we compare reading, we're 33, proficient, the nation is 31, we're 5 in advanced, the nation is 4. We are above the nation. Seen that in your newspapers lately, folks? We better understand the realities. And this is not bad news, but we've got to have jobs that pay enough for that population. Here's poverty. This is a problem. Now, your counties, except for Fulton, have fairly low poverty rates. But East Kentucky has a high poverty rate. This is the thing that scares me to death. Again, you don't have this in your packet. This is basically, in fact, you do have in your packet, on page 22 has poverty, 23 has unmarried births. Folks, Fulton County, with 54.3% of kids born unmarried mothers, has the highest unmarried rate in the state. Folks, in Purchase area, the unmarried rate in 1970 was 8%. In 1990, it was 20%, 21%. Today, it's 40%. And these are not teenage girls. They're mainly young women in their 20s. And they're poorly educated. They're not Murphy Browns. The big issue this country faces, and this is a country issue, this is the same data for us, the state of the United States, we've got a growing number of unmarried births, and women are saying, I want to be a mother, whether I'm married or not, and I want to have one child after one pregnancy. And when I wake up in the morning after one child, one pregnancy, I want to see one kid in my house. If I wake up in the morning after one child, and I see a second kid in my house, one pregnancy, I'm going to be teed off. because that second kid weighs 180 pounds and they're called Bubba White, Joe Black, Jose Brown. We've got to get Joe Black, Jose Brown, educated, skilled, productive for our future. And our young women are doing a much better job getting educated and skilled than our young men are. A big challenge for us as we face the nation. And again, teen births, folks, are only 13% of all unmarried births in the state. And it's totally tied. If you're a college graduate, your chance of giving birth out of wedlock is 4.5%, less than 1 in 20. Your high school dropout in your 20s, it is 59%. So it's lack of education we got to address. And this is an issue across the state. Here's taxes. Didn't Mitt Romney say the bottom 47% of people in the United States don't pay taxes? What's amazing in it here, this is data showing state and local taxes in Kentucky, and guess who pays the most taxes? And folks, it's the middle class. And you don't have this handout, but let me just sort of give you the data. Middle class Kentucky state and local taxes, 10.9%. Lowest 20%, 9.1%. Highest 1%, 5.7%. Next 4%, 7.3%. Yeah, rich people do pay income tax, but they don't pay as much in property tax or basically sales tax. We've got to have a tax system, folks, where everybody pays their fair share. And some people avoid paying taxes totally, not based on being poor, but based on being wealthy. We've got to have a fair tax. I got a book I use sometimes, hand it up. It's a book called How to Play Monopoly. Any of y'all ever play Monopoly as kids? What's the end goal of Monopoly? At the end, one person has all the money. Do you want to live in a society where one person has all the money at the end? Is that the American dream? That's why we left England, folks, so we'd have a chance for everybody to do well. We got to restore that again. And again, you can, if you want this data, email me. I'd be glad to send it to you. Sort of closing out here. Here is welfare expenditures in Kentucky and food stamps, unemployment insurance, health care, and retirement. The bottom here is welfare. This is 1980, adjusted for inflation after taxes. That light blue line is welfare in Kentucky. What's it been doing, folks? So why do we believe if we cut out welfare, we'd have lots of money? Welfare is very little money. It's never been much money. Food stamps has been going up in recession. That's the orange line. This is health care cost, and this is retirement disability cost. What are the real issues, folks? Health care and disability. Folks, we have shredded our social safety net for young kids, and we wonder why they can't do well in school. We've got to renew our social safety net where everybody does well. You can get this for every single county. This will shock you. This is just put in your search engine, Kentucky Children's, Kentucky, I'm trying to think of it, Kentucky Health and Human Services data book. Cabinet for Health and Family Services, CHFS data book. We have this for every county. Let me just show you a couple quick numbers here. In Kentucky, we have 33,000 kids on welfare. And folks, we have 1.2 million kids in Kentucky. That's 3% of our population kids are on welfare, yet one quarter of our kids, 25%, are in poverty. We've got many kids slipping through the net. They come to school less ready to learn. Also, we got 44,000 total with mothers and children there. Total number of cases on KTAP, Kentucky Transitional Assistance for Welfare, 21,000. Number of kids, 33,000. That means the average welfare family is 1.5 kids, not 5, 6, 7 kids. And food stamps in Kentucky, folks, is on this slide here, and again, you get it for every county, is 787,000. Folks, we got 20 times more people on food stamps than on welfare. And most of those people on food stamps, folks, guess what they do for a living? They work. Only 6% of people on food stamps are on welfare. Most work, disabled, or aged. Just really quickly, closing out here, almost done. Getting a few times for questions. Kentucky's workforce growth between 2010 and 2020 is the highest in occupations require education beyond high school. However, most jobs require a high school degree or less. 71% of job projections in Kentucky between now and 2020 require a high school degree or less. Folks, one of our major issues may be we need to reinvent our economy where we have more jobs require higher levels of skill, not less levels of skill. Big issue, big challenge. Education pays, BA 42, associate 30, high school dropout 17. Demand for higher education is growing. STEM cell jobs. Let's get more people trained in science, technology, engineering, math. Yeah, we need some of that. But here's where the job growth will be in jobs requiring higher education. Jobs basically in math and computer science, 1,100 projected growth per year, annual. Architecture and engineering, 800, that's 1,900 together. But folks, community service, social services, 1,100. Education training, secondary elementary schools, is 3,900. And healthcare is 5,400. Now here's the issue, folks. We need people who have math skills, science skills. We're not going to be working in STEM careers. Folks are going to be working in healthcare and education. Math teachers, science teachers, people in healthcare who have science skills, biology. So STEM is much greater than STEM careers. It's careers that require healthcare education, science education. And let me just close out real quickly here. Basically, we have these at our website, Occupational Projections 2020. This shows the data. You have this in your handout. This is on page 11 of your handout. It shows that basically in the third from last column, if you look here, basically the highest growth will be in doctorate professional degrees. We'll also have about a 20% growth in master's degrees. Pretty good growth in all the other degrees as well. But we still have too many jobs being created that require less than high school, right here. I've talked about pay level. You already saw that. That's on page 12. We also, just real quickly, we have these at our website, 2020. It shows the job growth. The green is growth. The red is replacement. And you'll see pharmacists in basically professional jobs, pharmacists, lawyers, physicians, the growth there. And you got this in your handout. That's on page 13. That's requiring a master professional. Page number 14 has a bachelor's degree. And folks, notice the biggest job growth is in elementary school and secondary school teachers. Does Murray produce any secondary and elementary school teachers? So you agree with that, huh? And not science jobs. Then you've got associate degrees, which are KCTCS, on page 15. And on page 16, some additional jobs, post-secondary degrees, non-award. And after that, you've got detailed data for many areas. And I just pulled up healthcare in this one here. And it shows the growth by career. And it shows the education levels needed. And it shows the pay levels. Does anybody feel like they've been put in front of a fire hydrant yet? Anybody need hard liquor? Is Callaway County wet or dry? Or just moist? Okay, let me stop there. We got maybe a few minutes for questions. Anybody have any burning questions before you go to lunch and have the Lieutenant Governor Abelson tell us all the answers? Right, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions, any comments? Yes, sir. When I go around the country speaking, I say China's done with. A lot of books out there, folks. China has something called the 4-2-1 problem. Four aging parents, four aging grandparents, two aging parents, and one young worker. What's that mean for the future of China, folks? That's why we're seeing a lot of manufacturing jobs come back, because China's not going to have the workforce for them. Also, folks, China and India have a major water problem, a big issue for you all, folks. The good news, trees are smart. Some great news for West Kentucky. Trees are smart. They have enough common sense to know you grow where there's water. Folks, guess what China and India don't have? Water. Guess what California, Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, and Florida don't have? Water. You got any water around here? You got any lakes? You got any rivers? Folks, water may be the new oil. So that's the good news for us. You've also got an educated population. You're also in a mild climate. When I go around the country, I'm saying Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia have the most potential, but it means we have to have tax reform, which the Lieutenant Governor will talk about, and we need to make sure everybody's paying their fair share. When I hear we need to have a flat tax, I'm totally against that. Because what we've seen in the last 30 years in this country, folks, is a growing disadvantage where all the money is going to the top 1%. That's not my America. We need a system where everybody does well, and I do not think China and India are going to be our competitors. And by the way, y'all do know that China, Singapore did very well in their comparisons across the nation, across the world as far as how their country did. Y'all do know that China basically did not allow the PISA, that International Association of Education, to use the scores of the rural Chinese system they looked at. because China would not have looked as good. Folks, you can fudge numbers all you want, but you better look at the true numbers. Any other quick questions? Yeah, I'll be around the rest of the day to answer questions. Thanks for having me today. Hopefully you don't have too many headaches. I think they probably have aspirins and Advil out front if you need it. Thank you.